One of the most brilliant and holy people I've ever had the privilege to know was a professor I had in seminary. He and his wife, she worked at the seminary too, and they were both born into Jewish families, but kind of grew up without any religion whatsoever. And at the time that they were in college, they really had a bit of a crisis of meaning in their lives. He and she were both sort of practicing atheists and were kind of growing bitter towards the world, both of them budding artists. And he was in art class one day and really experiencing this sort of crisis, this meaning of life. Why should I let myself suffer? What's the point of all this? And really trending in a sort of dark direction. And the professor this day in class, is a huge moment of conversion for him. The professor one day in class puts up two paintings in front of them. And he says, well, the one painting is, it's sort of an abstract shapes and colors, all sorts of different colors and lines going every which way, sort of hard to understand like what exactly this thing is. So that's the first painting. And the second painting is this beautiful image of Jan van Eyck, a Netherlands painter. It was a marriage between a man and a woman, the marriage ceremony. It's like brilliant, radiant colors, orderly, structured, like just gorgeous in every way. And the professor asks the class, he says, if you were on your deathbed, which of these two paintings would you prefer to look at? This abstract one that you can't really make sense of, this beautiful giving in love, the husband to the bride and the bride to the groom. And it's just so clear what the answer is. It's like, of course, I want to be looking at this image of the wedding. And that question was enough to spark something in him, to sort of wake up a slumber that was in him. He was a man who was trying to live for beautiful things, to create beautiful art that people could appreciate, that they could enter into something special. And finally, this question showed him that there was something more beneath the surface, something that was awakened there in him. There was a seed that had been planted in his heart, a love for beauty that all of a sudden became meaningful. And that was the beginning, just the beginning of a long line of conversions that had to happen with him and his wife. They converted to Catholicism. He studied theology, philosophy. He's the most brilliant person I truly know. And I'm grateful for the professor that day who put these two things in front of him and says, on your deathbed, which of these would you prefer to look at? Which of these would you prefer to consider? In our letter to St. James today, the second reading, so beautiful, he says, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your soul. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your soul. Like there's some word from God the Father that's been planted in you because you were made in his image and likeness. That in your soul is planted a desire to encounter beautiful things, beautiful people. That in your soul is a desire for real goodness, not just like a little bit of good, like we want all things to be good. Within our soul, there's a desire, something's been planted there for order, that we don't live well as human beings in chaos. That within our souls, there's something that desires forgiveness, even if it's hard. That within our souls, there's something that desires peace and stability. These good things that God has planted in the hearts of his believers, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your soul. Welcome that word and then guard it. Guard it with your life. Because that's going to be our connection to the living God. That if the Lord has planted a word that's meaningful in us, we need to be careful because the world is constantly trying to blot it out. And for my professor, it was like he couldn't encounter beauty in any sort of meaningful way. It was all just becoming a charade. And yet with the question asked, there was a purpose, a meaning behind all of it. The word has planted good words in your heart. Are we welcoming those things? And not just so that I can hear it. Not to just be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. This is a truth that you undoubtedly know, but a word that I want to plant within you today, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. You are not Lord. I am not Lord. The temptations that we encounter so often are not Lord. The distractions of our life are not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Humbly receive that word. Welcome it. And that word is able to save your soul. That if I'm willing to listen to Jesus Christ each day, if I'm willing to encounter him in prayer and let him actually affect my life, that might just be the beginning of a series of conversions that lead me into a more fruitful marriage, a more abundant family life, better friendship, more peace of soul, so that I can do away with all the frivolous things and actually welcome what's deep and meaningful. Jesus tells us that sometimes a grain of wheat, not sometimes, he says it dogmatically, a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. And if it doesn't die, it will not produce fruit. That there's little things in us that need to die so that new life can come about. Jesus Christ is Lord, and so we take him at his word, that he speaks the truth to us, and he guides us. He's this conversation with the Pharisees. They're trying to trip him up, of course. And Jesus, they're worried about the exteriors, the externals. And Jesus says, let's look into the heart for a second. What's been planted there? Because what's planted there are the sorts of things that will defile, not from outside, but from within. And he says, from within people, from their hearts come evil thoughts and unchastity and theft and murder and adultery and greed and malice and deceit and licentiousness and envy and blasphemy and arrogance and folly. All these evils come from within and they defile. Do I welcome those spirits? Do I welcome evil spirits to linger in me? Or do I bring them to the foot of the cross to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and to say, Lord, I'm experiencing a lot of greed. I'm experiencing a lot of envy, a lot of murderous, hateful thoughts, lust, unchastity. I'm experiencing all of these things, and I want to place them at the foot of your cross for your precious blood to wash upon them because you are Lord. Lord, I want to welcome the word that you have set before me because that's the word that's going to save my soul. All other things will defile. All other things will cast us out of the Lord's light into darkness. But if Jesus Christ is Lord, his word is the final word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And not to measure every action of my life with ultimate consequences, would you rather do this on your deathbed or not? But to realize that the Lord is ordering and structuring all things for good. And that I need to listen to the word of the Lord that's been planted in my heart, either for my evil or for the salvation of my soul. Jesus is Lord. He feeds us with his body and his blood. We welcome that word into our hearts that our souls might be saved.